Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts. It's just
as bad. Now, the plows make Tuesday just as bad as a stormy Monday. I'm John Hockenberry. I want to thank Femi Okeh and Richard Hake for sitting in yesterday admirably and spectacularly. It was actually fun listening to them and watching the snow blow outside my window. But it was an adventure getting here this morning, just as it was for a lot of New Yorkers. The holiday blizzard of 2010 knocked people in the Big Apple out of their routines. But in the past several weeks, Takeaway listeners all across the country have been bracing or embracing what seems to be a pattern of extreme weather.
The weather here is kind of cold, but a lot of houses here weren't built with heat.
I'm driving on a snow-covered highway with a ton of people that shouldn't be on the road, but that's New England for you.
My name is Carlos Martinez. I'm calling from Miami. The weather here is wonderful. It's 46 degrees.
Calling from Somerville, South Carolina. It is 32 degrees, and we have a very small amount of snow on the ground, but for us, that is a white Christmas.
She had a smile on her face, you could tell. Optimistic listeners who called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Though, to keep it in perspective, in the past few days, 7,000 flights nearly have been canceled, and airlines are losing $100 million, it's estimated. But aside from the literal on-the-ground effects of the weather, you know, how big is a single storm in the grand scheme of weather and climate change? The suggestion of what's going on here is almost irresistible. But joining us to set this weather and the cycles besides, say, global warming, which gets a lot of coverage, driving the weather system, which is a very complex system. Joining us now is Richard Seeger, professor and climate scientist at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty School. Good morning, professor.
Good morning.
You know, we think about, the winter, summer, seasonal cycle. We hear a lot about global warming, this giant sort of millennial cycle, but there are lots of cycles driving the weather and can explain why the top six blizzards in the New York area have happened in the last like 10 years or so.
Oh, absolutely. One of the main things that influences precipitation and winter snow in the northeast of the United States is the so-called North Atlantic Oscillation, which is a naturally occurring oscillation of pressure between the subtropical North Atlantic and the Icelandic low region. And when the Icelandic low isn't as low as usual and the Azores high isn't as high as usual, you tend to get these outbreaks of cold air from the Arctic that comes down into eastern North America, across the Atlantic, and also into northwestern Europe.
Can I ask you how that works exactly? I'm looking at the globe. You're saying there's a low in the Azores, or a high in the Azores, which would be high pressure, right?
That's right.
And low around Iceland, right?
Yeah, that's like the normal situation. And between those two pressure systems, you get strong southwesterly winds blowing from like the southern part of the United States across to northwestern Europe. And that keeps it that pattern keeps it relatively warm. And what happens every now and then, just purely from atmospheric dynamics, is these pressure systems both weaken. So you tend the Icelandic load isn't as low as usual, and the Azores high isn't as high as usual, and then you don't get the strong flow from the west to the east, and that allows flow from the north to the south, and you get these cold air coming down from the Arctic.
I see.
And that can affect both eastern North America and Western Europe at the same time, and that's what actually was happening last winter. No doubt you remember the tremendous amounts of snow in the eastern U.S. last winter and also in Western Europe, and that explains what's been happening so far this winter as well.
All right, well, farmers understand this stuff perhaps better than the rest of us, and of course you're a climate scientist, but Professor Richard Seeger, how long is a typical north-south western hemispheric oscillation? Is it a couple of years? Is it 5 years?
Well, it varies on all timescales. I mean, the most of the power and the variation of this thing actually happens on a day-to-day timescale. But when we look at long records, you see it varying week to week. You see it varying year to year. You also see it varying decade to decade. So it can do all sorts of things, and we think most of this is on its own. What's happened since last winter to this winter is relatively unusual. It was at a record negative state last winter, and it stayed negative all the way through to the current winter as well. So we've had like over a year of it being in this negative state. When I look at long records of it, the last time that happened was the winter of 1968. 1969, which was very cold and snowy.
All right, well,
Professor
Seeger, then, again, I'm not a climate scientist. You say it's really unusual, haven't seen it since the 60s. It makes the irresistible question, it must have something to do with global warming.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with global warming. It's if anything, actually, what climate models, to really assess what we expect from global warming, we have to turn to climate model simulations where you put in the increasing concentrations of carbon dioxide and you model how the climate system responds. And those models actually predict that the North Atlantic Oscillation should be moving in towards a more positive state, which it did from the 1960s through to the late 1990s. And at the end of the 1990s, everyone was saying, oh, look, it's going positive, and that must be something to do with global warming because it's consistent with the models. But no sooner had everyone got those papers published than it started taking a negative turn, and it has been for the last decade. But we can make very, very long records of this North Atlantic Oscillation using tree ring records that go back hundreds of years. And then when you look at those, you see that it goes through these decadal, multi-decadal shifts, and all the way back as far as we can go into the 1600s, 1700s, when there was no human influence on the climate system at all.
So we're speaking with Richard Seeger, who's a professor and climate scientist at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty School. A question before we go, and I want to return to a maybe more global picture when we come back. Is it possible to say that the effect of this Icelandic oscillation that you're talking about would cause winter to peak earlier and that we've seen the worst?
No, I think what the models predict is this is going to persist for at least a week, but beyond that, we don't really know. We have no ability to predict this system on more than like the weather prediction timescale. So what's going to happen January, February? I don't know.
All right. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about if there's any relationship between what's been going on in the other hemisphere, some of the weather records being set over there, and what we're seeing in the Western Hemisphere. Richard Seeger is professor and climate scientist at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. We've been getting great data points, or you can call them weather reports, from listeners around the country. What's it like in your area? Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE, or you can show us by using the Takeaway iPhone app. Just download it at thetakeaway.org and then send us a photo of the storms. Or, hey, we love clear weather, nice sunset, puts a smile on our face. Whatever you're seeing, send it to us. Good morning, everyone. We've been talking about the weather this morning with Richard Seeger, professor and climate scientist at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. He reassured us in the previous segment that, in fact, the storms that we're seeing in the Northeast have nothing to do with global warming. In fact, that would be almost impossible to detect with the complexity of the sort of global warming model versus some of the other models he was describing in the cycles of the weather. Professor, I wanted, before we go, to ask you about some of the bigger sort of global phenomena we've seen in 2010, particularly the flooding in Pakistan, which was the worst of all. Is there an interaction between the Eastern and Western Hemisphere that might explain why we're having this cold weather and Europe is having this cold weather and Pakistan is having these floods all in the same year?
Well, there certainly are interactions between the hemispheres. I mean, the atmosphere is a global phenomenon and every single part of it communicates with every single other part. During last summer, what's called a La Nina event developed in the tropical Pacific Ocean when the tropical Pacific is colder than it normally is. And during La Nina events, you expect much stronger Asian monsoons. So I would think the flooding in Pakistan that we saw in the summer was probably in part at least related to the La Nina event in the tropical Pacific. La Nina events also have a significant influence on precipitation in our hemisphere over here too, but there they tend to make work in the winter and they tend to make the southwest and the southeast drier than usual. And this La Nina event has persisted through to the current winter, but in all these cases, it's the phenomenon like that they're loading the dice a little bit of a very chaotic fluid, which is the atmosphere, and all sorts of things can happen. As you probably noticed, so far this winter, there's been quite a lot of precipitation in the southwest and flooding in California,
Indeed. And
that's not consistent with what we would expect during a La Nina event. But before this recent flooding, it was actually very dry in California in November, and it's been dry for the last week now, and we're certainly predicting a dry season in the southwest this winter.
Well, Richard Seeger, at the very least, it's making your job more challenging to try to keep all these various models out of conflict. Richard Seeger, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Professor Seeger is a professor in climate sciences at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. You know how to reach us. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or text the word snow to 69866 and tell us what you're seeing, precipitation or not.